Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. So Gray and Rudy thought it would be really funny to see me get my ass kicked. I believe they actually referenced, remember what happened to Uma Thurman when she woke up from the coma in Kill Bill Volume 1? Yeah, that's what we want to happen to Nick. Why they actually wanted to hurt me, I can't say, but there was this one time I made Gray a daiquiri with Bacardi instead of Appletons, and I haven't heard the end of it. Nonetheless, they thought it would be funny to put me in the Razzball Champions League, where the top 11 scorers from the 2012 season can beat the rum out of me. Well, their plan backfired because I'm in third and just 2 points out of top spot. Ha! How do you like them apples? Appleton? So we'll have the league's creator, commissioner, and all-around good guy, Eric, join us to discuss how I've managed to bamboozle everybody. Also, we'll chit-chat with JB to see how we can put a chunk of $500,000 in your jeans. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble, assuming Gray wakes up from his daiquiri-induced slumber and Rudy isn't sick. From the LT's Bachelorette Party Services studio, is your soon-to-be bride planning one last raunchy night out before she severs whatever manhood you have left the rest of your life? Why not keep it in the Razzball family? LT and the Banana Hammock Dance Crew will keep your fiancé and her friends entertained till the wee hours while teaching the women that fantasy baseball isn't just for geeks. Warning, LT's Bachelorette Party Service is not responsible for reestablishing your fiancé's idea of size, you liar, liar, pants on fire. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of July the 8th. Here we go.
Champions League.
And it is now a pleasure to be joined on the Razzball Baseball Podcast by the owner of the first place team in the Razzball Champions League, Eric from Random Italicized Voice. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Nick. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, it's not my choice, Eric. I'm contractually obligated because you're in first place.
Barely.
Yeah, you are hanging on by literally your fingernails because, as I mentioned in the introduction, I'm in third place and I'm just 2 points behind and I have no business being in this league.
Yeah, it's a good race so far, Nick. I'm really enjoying the league so far and, yeah, you're right up there with us.
So, Eric, let me ask you a couple questions. You actually created this league, if I'm correct. So what inspired you to create a Champions League?
Yeah, there's a couple different things that inspired that. And first of all, you know, I played in the RCL in the past two seasons. I won each of the leagues. And even 2 years ago, I won the RCL overall title. So there were good competitive leagues, but, you know, I was interested in what could be the next level of challenge. And so, you know, I had seen people mention this sort of setup before where league winners from the previous season would get together and have a league to compete against one another, and I went ahead and organized that, and here it is.
Fantastic. So do you bring your general strategies into this type of league, or would you shift a little bit?
So, you know, I find drafting for the RCL is a little bit just different than drafting for other leagues, and that mostly comes from the fact that everybody, you know, I keep in mind everybody is listening to, you know, reading the blog and listening to Gray's advice every day. So there's certain players that I think most people are either very up on or very down on.
That makes sense.
When I come into a draft, I try to, you know, pinpoint guys that I think Gray is down on, but I think that I like a little bit better.
So you're trying to zig when everyone else is zagging.
Exactly. And very often I find myself taking an elite closer in these leagues just because the value seems to be very good. In the Champions League, I have Papelbon, for example, and in my other RCL league, I have Rivera. Starting pitchers and catchers, the same thing. I think there's really good values in the RCL draft for those positions.
So talk to me about, and be honest with me, what do you feel the level of competition is like in the Champions League? Because really, listen, I love fantasy baseball. I'm pretty plugged in, but I'm not the player that a lot of the super elite guys are. How am I in third place? Is that an anomaly?
I think you had a really good draft, Nick. I think you set yourself up very nicely, actually. You got a bunch of high K pitchers. You've got your power is a little bit lower than some of the other teams, but I think you've got pretty much every other category very well covered. In terms of the overall competition of the league, it's been really tough. As you can see, everybody is bunched together at the top and in the middle. There's very little separating teams. And also, you know, people are paying attention. I haven't gotten a waiver claim yet. Each of my waiver claims have been unsuccessful. So people are definitely paying attention. And also, the league competitive index is top five, according to the formula. So even though the leader of this league may only end up with 80-something points, that won't reflect great on the RCL overall standings. It's a very competitive league.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, Eric. I really am. You've been trying to get Everett Cabrera off me all season. In this league currently, my pitching is fantastic. I'm pretty good with speed and average, but I'm definitely lacking in power and RBIs. So I'm going to throw this out to you right here, right now. I'm going to ask for Adam Jones for Everett Cabrera. You're on the clock.
You know, Nick, you know, yesterday I would have done that, but yesterday I got a trade pushed through for Ellsbury. I traded Gio Gonzalez and AJ Burnett for Ellsbury and Melanson. That trade, you know, I don't like it on paper. I think on paper in a vacuum, I prefer the Gio Gonzalez side. But in terms of where my team is, you know, I have 4 points in stolen bases, and 10 steals will move me up 4 points right away. In the context of what my team needs, I think this is a good trade for me, and it's also a good trade for Worldwide Suicide, the team that I traded with, because he's got an outstanding offense, and his pitching is holding him back at this point. So this trade works for both of us, and I wish you got me earlier with that.
All right, I'm looking to make a deal in this league, and no one's dealing with me here, Eric. I don't know if it's because I'm Canadian. I don't know if there's a Canadian bias going on.
That could be.
You know, a North Coast bias. A Great Lakes bias, maybe, but something's wrong here, Eric.
Yeah, there hasn't been a ton of trades in the league, but there's been some trades. It's not as trade happy as some of the leagues I've been in, and I had to work pretty hard to get a stolen base guy.
So, what's the future of the Razzball Champions League? Because I know we all threw in this year. We've created a trophy. There's a Louisville Slugger trophy. By the way, this show needs a baseball bat sponsor. So are we going to continue this or what?
Yeah, so when I won the RCL overall title 2 years ago, Gray presented me with a Louisville Slugger, a personalized Louisville Slugger. I think that's a really cool trophy, you know, gets a lot of attention, a lot of people ask questions about it. So we all threw in $10, and the winner's going to get a Louisville Slugger this year. And at the beginning of the year, I asked, whoever wins the league, if they have time and they have the motivation, to continue the tradition next year and have another Champions League.
All right. Well, listen, I got a feeling, Eric, that you might be the leader, let's say, at this point. If I would put a nickel on it, I might bet on you. But I'm also going to throw out that it has been really competitive. But you know what I think? If I'm going to do this again next year, first of all, I don't know if I'll even be invited. But if I do this again next year, I need an intern or something, because I'm managing so many teams this year. I just can't stay on top of it. So if there's any interns, you know, looking here in Toronto to come down, we're at the CFNY studio here in 25 Dockside Drive.
See if I can find you an intern.
Text me. Actually, yeah, I was kind of fishing for maybe a nice female intern, but I guess if it's fantasy baseball related, that's unlikely.
I'm picking the female interns for myself.
All right, Eric, look, really appreciate it. It has been a lot of fun. I'm really glad that actually you put this together and that you allowed me to be a part of it. I really am grateful because it's kind of been a boost to my ego that I feel I can be competitive in this structure. So thanks for joining us. And listen, we'll see if you're the winner, but we'll definitely have the winner on later on in the season.
Cool. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. And good luck to you the rest of the season.
I don't wish you good luck, Eric, but take care.
Oh, thanks.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by Big Biscuit, Mr. JB Gilpin. You can follow JB on Twitter at JBGILPIN. He is the man you want to interact with if you want to talk Daily Fantasy. JB, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's good to be home. Got to see my Brewers in D.C. last week. It was fantastic. They went 1-1 while I was there. Got to see a Carlos Gomez home run. He made about 4 or 5 great catches. He's pretty much worth the price of admission alone. He's just so
yeah. You know what? A Carlos Gomez, Bryce Harper game. I mean, that's a lot of excitement packaged into one baseball game.
Yeah. Although, ironically, well, I don't know if irony is the right word, but Harper had a line drive smoked right to him, and he couldn't get his glove on it and dropped it. And some dude was actually heckling Bryce Harper, a Nationals fan. It was out of control.
Interesting. Okay, listen, we got some big stuff to talk about here on the Daily Fantasy Report, and this is pretty key because the Midsummer Classic is July 19th. This is a big, big, big contest. $500,000 at stake, including $125,000 to the winner. JB, tell me, how am I going to get into this?
Oh, well, all you got to do is win the Razzball contest. We have them every Friday. If you're still new and haven't checked them out.
Hold on. JB, are you telling me that in this week's contest, we're giving away an entry into the Midsummer Classic?
We are. We give an entry away every week. And it's only $10.
Shut the front door.
I know this is breaking news.
No, but that's huge.
It is. I mean, it's a $200 value. Otherwise, you can win just for $10. Our contest is capped to 40 or 50 people. And even if you don't win, spots 2 through 10 double up. They're $10 to $20. So there's prizes for everyone. And, hey, if you make it into that Midsummer Classic, you got a really good shot at $125K, all on a $10 entry fee.
Wow.
So that's pretty nice.
That's pretty cool. And we're, again, playing this Friday. If you want to play with Rudy from Razzball, that's the Razzball contest. It's only for Razzballers. I know I've mentioned this before, but this is key. JB will put a post up on Wednesday at Razzball. If you want to find it quick, go into the search box at Razzball and just look up DraftKings, direct link. Only for Razzball people. It's a very small group. It's only $5 to get in. You can play against Rudy, and sometimes JB and I are also in there. But basically, again, this week, the winner is going to get an entry into the July 19th huge Midsummer Classic.
Yes, sir. And
so talk to me about who you like this Friday. Because Jared Weaver, I think, has a matchup against Seattle that you like.
Yep, I love Weaver. I am going to be back in this week. I haven't played the last couple weeks because I've been out of town. But yeah, I like Weaver. He's pitching solid lately. Pitched big in primetime last night on ESPN against the Red Sox, this time at Seattle. Tough not to like that. Another guy I like, and if you've been following my comments on Gray's articles in the mornings, you know I'm a huge Corey Kluber fan. He's one of my favorite pitchers to watch these days. He was hitting 97 a bunch of times yesterday. He'll be at home against Kansas City. He pitched really, really well against them. Just got 2 broken bat singles, a walk, and then Alex Gordon hit a grand slam. Other than that, I mean, he pitched 5 fantastic innings. I think he can have another good game.
And then there's some great lineup options in the Baltimore-Toronto game Friday night as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, mostly, at Baltimore Good Hitters Park. Pitchers going in that game, R.A. Dickey and Jason Hamill, both are struggling with high ERAs. Part of that Twitter battle we had with Jay Wrong a couple weeks ago was your question asking about how Dickey would do in a keeper league. Not looking too good, Jay Wrong, is he?
Hey, JB, I'm in this Friday. I want to get into that Midsummer Classic. I would love to be in that contest.
Yeah, me too, and I'll be in it too. Post will go up at 1 Eastern on Wednesday. You can get in through only through that link on that post. You can't get in through just the normal site. It's an exclusive contest, so I'll be hopping in right when it's open with you.
You got to be a heavy, heavy, heavy VIP.
Yeah, it's Razzball VIP. Both of us would be pretty good bouncers, though.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. You're 6'8".
Yeah, but you're pretty menacing looking, and you have a much deeper voice.
Yeah, maybe. JB.
I'm pretty high-pitched for a tall guy.
JB, thanks for joining us on the Daily Fantasy Report. I'm going to see you Friday at DraftKings.com, brother.
Yeah, man. Sounds like a plan. Look for lots of tweets and smack talk.
It's on. It's on.
Take it easy, man.
See you, JB. Getting to know Rudy. Rudy, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. How are you?
What's up? Doing swell.
Swell. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, I like it. I got no other platitude. I don't know what's cool to say.
We're getting older, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some old fogies play this weekend in some music. It was pretty kick butt. True, it was really an Austin thing. I don't know if you ever heard it. There's no way have you ever heard of Doug Somm?
No.
Yeah, he's an old kind of Texan that so they're basically like a tribute band and people he played with the Texas Tornadoes. If anyone has a chance to check it out, it's so cool. It's a mix. It's this Tex-Mex Tejano fusion. Really cool.
Well, that actually sounds like it would be delicious tasting, but sounding, I don't know. That's all new to me.
Just like Tex-Mex, it pulls at the heartstrings.
Rudy, I heard you went into the machine this weekend and came out with some names.
Yeah. We got, just like every day, the machine's always coming up with names. So, looking at this week, it looks like there's a few guys that are looking good and definitely on my radar for my teams.
Okay, so you shot me a couple of them. Let's start with Mr. Joe Blanton.
Yeah, so Joe Blanton's obviously a crush on the machine has, but
seriously,
he really came through there for a month's worth of starts. He had a sub-1 ERA, a K per inning. He had a rough start this last week with St. Louis, which Streamier actually didn't mind. I steered clear of. Reason he's coming up, this week he's got two away starts, but they're at Seattle, at Chicago Cubs. I like him. I like both those starts. I think he's a good bet for 6-7 Ks, which is excellent for a stream. And, a pretty good shot, at least one win between those two.
All right. I also saw another name, Juan Francisco.
Yeah.
What do you see Joey Francis doing this week?
Yeah, he's punishing me for hating him. He's one of the more valuable streaming hitter candidates right now in 12-team, mainly all because of his power, because he's an awful hitter in terms of discipline and average and all those things. And he has been delivering the homers of late. If your team needs power, you've got a corner man spot pretty open, and they're facing a righty, he's not going to even play against lefties. He's right now probably the best, streaming power play. Not to get you excited about hockey or anything.
Actually, you know what? It was July 1st up in Canada, so that's when all the hockey free agents happened and the draft just happened, so very exciting time in Canada. Our 2 weeks of summer are well spent doing hockey preparations for next season.
Right. Don't give anyone a long-term, a 12-year contract. It never works out.
No, they banned those now. Eight is the nice max. And your Dallas Stars went and got Tyler Seguin. So the nightlife in Dallas just got more interesting.
Well, it's better than getting Sean Avery again.
Hey, talk to me about Matt Joyce. I know he's, the Platoony Tunes machine must love him. Actually, you know what? It's kind of like a sub part of the machine. It's not its own machine. It's like a limb.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're streaming hitters, you have to be a lot more forgiving. Like, guys never really leave your radar. I had Joyce for about 2-3 months on my team, and dropped him recently because he's been in a pretty awful slump for the last 3-week slump or so. He's facing 5 straight righties. So he'll probably play every game, and 4 of them are Minnesota righties, and the Minnesota pitching staff stinks. So I feel like you got a pretty good shot at, maybe in a 5-game stretch, he hits a homer or two, hit 300. He's hitting leadoff, so you got a good shot at runs. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa has a nice four-game series. Hopefully it gets a couple of those guys on track. Longoria, I think Longoria and Zobrist owners wouldn't mind a few nice games as well.
I'm going to put you on the spot here because we didn't talk about this in advance, but give me a couple ideas of some closers who might move and not be closers come trade deadline. I'm thinking off the top of my head, maybe Perkins in Minnesota, although he's got a pretty good contract, so they might keep him.
I mean, you've obviously got guys like Greg who are obvious short-term rentals.
I'm talking more someone who's more established, maybe.
You're looking at teams that are out of contention, hoping to cash in on a closer. I mean, I don't see a ton right now outside of like the Gregs of the world. I mean, I don't feel like there's that many sellers. I mean, clearly, if anyone will give anything for Jose Veras, Houston will take it.
Right.
He's
pitched well the last month. He's pitched very well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, someone will take him as a middle reliever. I wouldn't be surprised. There's always people buying because there's going to be injuries and your bullpen gets weaker. You'd think Houston Street is always potential to be dealt by the Padres. I think there's a pretty good chance he'd be used as a seventh, eighth inning guy. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded Gregerson as well to be a seventh, eighth inning guy. I'm having a tough time thinking of any other closers on teams that are likely to just dump them.
Right. Well,
yeah, Perkins, I think the smart money's they're not going to trade Perkins. But
I think Minnesota's actually closer.
Depends on if anyone overwhelms them.
I think Minnesota's closer than most people realize.
I think that team's got a...
Well, we'll see.
I don't see it. Mauer's not going to get any better. Morneau and Dumit aren't guys you want to build around long term. It matters. They've got one or a couple prospects on the farm that Brian Buxton looks like he could be a great guy. And I do think between all those outfielders, someone's going to.
And they got Sano, too. Who,
yeah, third base, right?
Well, they've got Sano, who might be. I'll throw this out there. Well, but I've read a lot on him. He might be. Actually, it's not fair to compare any prospect to Miguel Cabrera, but just coming up, that big guy who hits everything, big powerful forearms, puts everything in play, lightning rod power. I could see Sano being one heck of a hitter.
I haven't heard much
just
on their
pitching pure hitter
though, and that's been a weakness on that team for a couple of years now.
Yeah, that's fair. So Rudy, we're off next week. What are you going to do without me for a week, buddy?
I don't know, maybe spend time with the family.
Nothing like a Monday lunch with the family.
Yeah, I think I'm supposed to go see another concert, too. I'm actually living up to the stereotype of an Austinite going to see live music. So I think I'm seeing the whitest band on earth, Belle and Sebastian.
Again, over my head. I'm pretty plugged in, but...
You never heard of Belle and Sebastian?
No, I'll have to Google them.
Yeah, that one's a little more popular.
All right, well, listen, Rudy, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you in 2 weeks' time. And I think as soon as I get out of the studio, I'm going to have, maybe when we come back in 2 weeks, I'll have maybe Smokey do a closer report.
Right on.
Okay, Mr. Gamble.
And look out for Ian Kennedy. I'm feeling a hot streak coming on for Ian Kennedy.
You heard it here first on the Razzball Baseball Podcast. We'll talk to you soon, Rudy.
Getting to know Gray.
It is an absolute pleasure. At least that's what I have to say. To be joined by Gray Albright. Gray, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. How are you?
Hey, hey, hey.
Gray, I don't know if you caught this, but our studio sponsor this week is LT's Bachelorette Party Services. So LT and the Banana Hammock Dance Crew can do parties. So I don't know if the Cougar has done her bachelorette party yet, but I just want to throw that out to you if you want to keep it in the family.
I will. I'll keep it in mind. I picture LT... and seven Cougars and Gary Glitter playing, and I'm freaking myself out.
You know, when I think of LT as an underwear model... When I think of LT as an underwear model, I kind of think the California version of Jersey Shore.
I picture the cock area, the state of Rhode Island.
Okay, let's talk baseball. So here's one.
I should have just got off a crazy phone call. It wasn't crazy. It was a little crazy that it took me 2 days, but I just finally talked to my dad, and because he flies to Asia a lot, and he lives up in the San Francisco area. So it turns out that he was fine. I was kind of concerned for the last 2 days.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Took me a minute there. Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were worried about whether or not he brought the real doll for you back from Japan.
No, but he had an interesting story. I was saying he was saying that he would never fly that airline because of about 10 years ago, he was on the plane and I think he was in Hong Kong, he said, and there was smoke coming from the side by the wing. And they towed the plane backwards about 500 feet. And then they put ladders up to the cockpit and let the pilots out. And then about a half an hour later, they towed the plane forward about 500 feet and they let everyone else out.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he was like, yeah, don't ever fly that airline. It's bad.
All right. So I've got a beef with you and Rudy. Here's what it is. All I heard all preseason long, it's not going to be a big rookie class. Don't expect any Mike Trout type years. Yeah. Explain Puig to me, please.
Y'all spell L Puig. Or is it, how do you say it? Does anyone know how to say it besides Ben Scully?
I think it's Yaziel Puig, but I'm just calling him the Cuban sandwich.
Yaziel?
I think so. Yaziel?
Huh, okay. Yaziel?
Hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Todo bien?
I thought that actually sounded kind of Yiddish. Yaziel?
Lo siento por mi poco español.
That's pretty good. So I pulled up his player page because I had this feeling we were going to talk about him. Damn, I am good with my intuition. Right now, his balls batted to play average is 494. That's absolutely ridiculous. The top guy for over a complete season, the top guy in the last 12 years is Jose Hernandez in 2002. And that was 404 balls batted to play. So, I mean, not only is he doing something outrageous, Puig doing something outrageous that hasn't been done in the last 12 years, but it's not realistic to think he can keep doing it. There's probably a good chance that his average will drop about 100 points, so you're looking at more of a 310 guy than a 410 guy, not anywhere near this. Also, looking at his profile page, he doesn't walk at all. So he's going to be prone to slumps. At some point, there's got to be a hole in the swing that pitchers will figure out, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went into one of those like month-long slumps where he's striking out maybe, you know, 2 to 3 times a game for about, you know, 3 to 4 weeks at a time. The upside and the positives on him are he's very athletic and he can do it looks like he can do everything that you want from a fantasy guy. You know, he has the power, he has the speed. He's not going to hit for a terrible average, like I said, maybe around 310. So that's still better than, you know, way better than league average. He looks like he has all the tools to be a solid 30 homer, 20 steal, 300 average guy over a full season, which is, you know, that's terrific. That's what you were getting from Ryan Braun, in a good season prior to, them cracking down on the juice.
Okay, let me paint a scenario for you. So Jay Wrong invents a time machine. You and I get to try it out first, and we head over to, let's say, March 1st, 2014. What are you projecting for Puig stats for 2014?
I'm probably going I'll probably go on the conservative side. I said 30, 20, 300 just now for what he could do over a full season, but just because of the unknown aspect, and I would probably go with 30. I think 30 is a safe bet on the power. I think his power could play to 30 pretty easily. I wouldn't be surprised if there was even maybe 34-ish to 36-ish homers in his bat. The steals, I would probably go a little bit lower than the 20, just because, you know, sometimes guys get in the middle of a lineup and they don't steal as much, or the managers want to make sure that their legs are fresh, or they don't want to have injury for no reason. So sometimes steals fall by the wayside, and I'd probably drop 20 to 12 to 15 just to be on the safe side. And then his average, I would probably say 290. Again, just being conservative because of his lack of walks. But as you know, like Soriano or Vlad, a lot of times these guys don't walk and they swing at everything, and they still have, you know, they have great contact numbers. They put the ball in play and it goes through, they get on base, and they could hit 330, 340 in a year where the balls fall in.
You know, I think the real takeaway from that was that if you and I had a time machine, we'd go forward and project fantasy baseball stats, because, I mean, come on. I'd be like, give me the lotto numbers, like the second Back to the Future movie.
Yeah. I would take the time machine back 2 minutes and tell myself what I was going to say, and then say that, and then go back 2 minutes and keep doing that. So we'd be in an endless loop on this podcast for the last 2 minutes.
That's awesome. Hey, let me ask you about one more player, because I have him on a lot of teams. I'm getting a lot of requests for him in trade situations. I'm not sure how to gauge him. Everett Cabrera.
I think with Cabrera, you're gonna want to look at more team needs. If you have a need for a guy who could steal 20 bases in the second half, then he's a guy that you're buying. And if you don't have that need, then you're selling. I think a lot of times guys like Cabrera could be overrated. You have a player that, like, maybe say, you know, Nick Franklin in the second half can do the same amount of fantasy value as Everett, may not steal as much, but have fantasy value in that he'll hit more homers, he'll have more RBIs, he'll have comparable runs, and he'll hit for a better average. He'll just be lacking in steals. So it really depends on team needs when you look at Sagnoff and a guy like Everett. I don't think he's, you know, he's not someone I would covet necessarily. I'd try and get cheaper steals if I could.
Okay. Last question. Back in the time machine, What does Everett Cabrera do in 2014?
2014, I would say he falls into a 75-25 platoon and gets maybe 70 runs, you know, no homers, no RBIs, 255 average, and 25 to 30 steals. I don't think much of Everett. I think he's having he had a great first half for sure, but I don't see that projecting out over a full season anywhere in his career.
All right, well, I'm going to go home and trade Everett Cabrera in every league.
You know who you could trade him to?
Who?
J-Wrong.
Oh, J-Wrong. I'm in the Writers League with J-Wrong, but I'm in five leagues this year. I'm doing well in all of them. I'm in, you know, first to third place in four leagues. In the Rasball Writers League with these knuckleheads, I'm in 10th.
Ouch. What's your, in the leagues that you're doing well in, are there guys sticking out that you're like, wow, I'm really great at, I drafted him? Like, do you have a Goldie or a Adam Jones, or who's carrying your team?
I got Everett Cabrera and Kipnis everywhere in my middle infields. I've got Anibal Sanchez, who was injured, but that was a great start. I got Homer Bailey on all my team, Anibal Sanchez on all my teams. Now I'm spacing, but I had a couple guys this year that Dominic Brown everywhere, so a couple guys I really hit on.
Yeah, nice.
Gray, I'm going to miss you.
What?
I'm going to miss you.
Why? When?
We don't have a podcast next week. It's our All-Star break hiatus.
Oh, wow. I gotta do something then. It's an All-Star break next weekend? No, I have, we're going to, Cougs and I are going to Vegas.
No, hold on. You didn't say Cougs and I. It was supposed to be, we're taking all the commenters to Vegas. You told me Karnak was going to get a lap dance. Actually, Alicia from L.A. is going to join us, too.
From T-Hole.
Great. Thanks for joining us. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks when we're back from the All-Star break hiatus.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.